Hey guys, quickly before we get to the show, wanted to tell you about a new podcast that I am hosting. It's a daily podcast every weekday morning, about 20 minutes. We're going to tackle a different sports story. You'll hear some friends of the show, some new folks across ESPN. It's called ESPN Daily, and you can find it on Apple, the ESPN app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. To the Meaning of Time show featuring Lenny. The only NFL podcast. We're using the word pound to describe football. Makes one of the hosts very antsy. Actually, both of us, if we're being honest, don't love pound. Don't love keep pounding. Carolina Panthers, you're on notice.
I don't know when to jump in because I'm very excited.
That's Adam Lefko. Pew, 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 pew. Repeat guest, second time guest.
Second time.
Host of the Lefko Show.
Yeah.
Terrific podcast.
Oh, thanks.
At Bleacher Report. All around wonderful guy. I'm taping this from New York, from the South Street Seaport. Adam's in New York, so decided to take the opportunity to bring him in as a guest.
Yeah. And you gave me a hat. And
No. We don't tell anyone because
why?
Then all the guests will want hats. And
yeah, but like I'm Dominique, a second guest.
Dominique's been on the show like 15 times.
He's never gotten a hat.
Doesn't have a hat. It's kind of a bit at this point.
I kind of figured out that, you know, Lenny's the straw that stirs the drink.
Mm-hmm.
I got Lenny some gifts.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, you're waiting to give them to me on
while we're
taping?
All right.
Oh,
so
wow.
First gift I have. I don't know where Lenny is. I guess he's going to come in later.
He's at the pet resort in California right now.
I decided to get him a big old bone. Please tell me that he can have peanut butter.
Cannot wait to put this in my carry-on. It is a bone peanut butter blend. This is wonderful. Thank you very much. He will eat it very quickly and throw up. So
perfect. You're welcome. Yeah. Carry on and vomit. And I had one other thing.
Carry on vomit.
That I wanted to get to.
While we're talking about the Lions. Oh, sorry.
Very nice. I wanted to give him this San Francisco 49ers bandana. You should see what Mina Kimes' face looks like right now. I'm going to put it back in the bag. I only got it for the gag part. I just wanted to see what your face would be. But, you know, some say they're the best team in the NFC West. So I just, you know, Lenny's kind of a front runner. And
wear it on Halloween and be, you know, like the opposite of like what he really is.
Yeah.
Right? Like sort of like a devil or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does this make you feel a type of way when you see it?
No. I don't feel the same way I used to about the Niners.
Okay.
There's no bile.
I'll keep this one.
You know I love Kyle Shanahan. You know I'm a Shanahan through and through.
So it's hard. How can you not
be? It's hard for me, that flap rim. Who can hate that flap rim? So it's hard for me to turn up the heat the way I used to back during the Harbaugh days.
And 21 personnel. What else can you ask?
Love it.
For?
I know.
Kyle
it's like
Shanahan.
A dream man right there. We're not going to talk about Kyle Shanahan today, and we're going to take a break from the usual format and in which we talk about the games because I wanted to have you on in particular to talk about these quarterbacks because, you know, we're like over a third way through the season at this point. Heading into week 7, we're kind of, I feel like, have a sense of who's who. There's been some interesting turnover. There's rookies doing interesting things. There's second-year guys regressing, second-year guys advancing and showing the world how great they are. Sam Darnold. But, I thought a good way to talk about them, and I've shamelessly ripped off this format from Mike Sando, who was with us, and then now he does it at The Athletic. He's wonderful. I wanted to put them in tiers.
Okay.
So we're kind of like ranking them. I came up with 5 tiers. The first tier is God level.
Mm.
Very few quarterbacks are God level. Then there's a tier I call pretty, pretty good. That's a quarterback who can, you know, like win you a game, even if the rest of the team maybe isn't playing super well.
Gotcha.
Can kind of elevate you guys. The third tier is, I mean, sure. So those are quarterbacks who are fine with upside, but maybe a little more context dependent.
Sure.
The fourth tier I came up with, scrolling down, is thinking face emoji. So they're kind of like the flip side of that where you can still win, but the rest of the team
has to be phenomenal.
Has to hold up. And then the tier after that is, whoa. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yes.
And then I this is such a cheat, but it I have a Scooby-Doo tier for when you, you don't know.
So
for the young guys too.
I ranked straight up Raw.
Yeah.
1 through 35. So what I'm going to do is
I don't think I even have 35.
Because like what happens is you start looking at like
There's
Duck Hodges.
Weird stuff.
Yeah. You're like, am I going to do Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew? Am I doing Cam Newton and Kyle Allen? So then I'll just draw my line
wherever
of
you
designation.
Feel comfortable,
because like I'm going to need to hear yours a little bit.
You can feel it out. We'll kind of alternate, I think, and then we can feel out where the tiers feel right.
Before we get into it, I have one take that I crafted for you that I kind of want to get out
right,
of my system before we jump into quarterbacks.
All right, let's hear
because
it.
I think we're going to have the same number one. So,
Mitch Trubisky.
Congratulations!
Wow,
that's incredible.
Nailed it.
I believe that we have entered a new era of Seahawks football.
Oh, boy.
And we have gone from the Legion of Boom to the Legion of Bloom. What I am witnessing in your franchise is a complete turnover. We have a quarterback who waited until marriage with Ciara and is able to channel his inner spirituality at all times. He can call plays in the field if he needs to against the Browns. We have a wide receiver who has come out and said that he himself is a virgin and his connection with his quarterback is that of a divine power.
It's pure.
Your other wide receiver, his last name literally breaks down into the chance encounter with a young child, Metcalf. So much so that your coach felt the need to go skin-to-skin contact upon meeting him for the first time.
It's like how you raise a baby.
Yes. You have freed two Texans from tyranny. You have two brothers, one of which is a symbol of hope for handicapped children across America. Your team used to intimidate people, and now you are a sign of what the world is to come. I think it's beautiful. The Legion of Bloom is what I'm calling them.
It's ironic, Adam, that you said this is a moment of turnover. It's how you started it, because Russell Wilson is the last remaining quarterback in the NFL who has not turned the ball over.
Wow.
He is my number one.
He's my number one, too.
He is playing at a god level right now.
Yes.
He is the MVP. And for everyone who's angry about me going full homer, he's so good we actually don't really need to talk about him for very long.
I kind of agree with
because
you.
Because to me, it's indisputable. This I've obviously been watching this guy. This is his ninth season or so. 2012 was when he was drafted.
Okay.
This is his best season. This is his masterpiece.
It's the first season, too, where we're not distracted by things like the Legion of Boom and taking it away from him. I thought the thing that made me appreciate Russ so much more on Sunday was I was going, hey, guys, stop getting on Dak. He didn't have either of his starting tackles.
We'll get to Dak.
Of course. But he didn't have either of his starting tackles, and it's not fair. Oh, hey, guys, don't get upset with Mahomes. He still doesn't have his starting left tackle. Russ was missing two of his best offensive linemen on Sunday. And had multiple throws with a guy barreling down in his face that were pinpoint accurate. He could be under pressure. He could be in a clean pocket. With 4 minutes left, I want Russ to have the ball. He's the best quarterback in football right now. It's not close.
The Seahawks' left tackle was two tight ends, basically.
It's incredible.
I mean, it was George Fant, who was an offensive lineman, kind of turned tight end.
Bill Topper. Let's go.
And then they had Will Disley in there helping, who got hurt, and that's gonna be a real issue for them, obviously. Especially they like to run two tight end sets. Now they're down because they traded away Nick Fannett.
Right.
So they brought back Luke Wilson, who's been really kind of good.
Yeah.
But Ed Dixon doesn't come back for a couple of weeks at least.
I want you guys to trade.
I too would like a trade.
Tyler Eifert, make it happen.
The Bengals certainly should be sellers.
Yeah.
What's his status right now?
His status is like underutilized and people don't know why.
His status is in Cincinnati.
All I know is like last week there were rumors that the Patriots were going to call about him. So look, I look at the Bengals and I go, I don't know how to evaluate anyone on that team.
Right.
Like,
right.
Who cares?
We'll get to Andy. I think to me, him and Mahomes, in a broader sense, are 1A, 1B. You can move them around. Mahomes, obviously, is coming off of a couple of difficult weeks. And I actually think he is in a very interesting situation. So I want to spend – actually, we're still in God level.
Yes.
Clearly.
I think I have four God levels.
Okay.
How many God levels do you have?
And then I have three, and I bet I know who yours
definitely.
Is, who's not mine. But but I think Mahomes – let's stay here. Mahomes and Wilson, clearly, 1A, 1B.
I agree.
Either way. I'm going to throw something out. It's Tuesday, October 15th. This is coming out tomorrow morning. Should the Chiefs sit Patrick Mahomes for Thursday Night Football against a resurgent Broncos pass rush?
No.
Ooh.
That was like offensive to hear that.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
Because he is not right.
I think his ankle's okay. And I know what you're saying. You're taking on this Denver team where if that offense can figure out a way to score 17 points, they're going to be in any game.
Yeah.
Like what this defense is able to do right now with Vic Fangio.
Wait, so Joe Flacco's not in the God tier for you?
No, he's not. He's in the
we'll get
throw
there.
Up emoji. No, Joe's actually played phenomenal this year for Joe. But I don't want this team. I'm trying not to give away too much. So like I've talked to Patrick recently and he's told me that he's okay and that's not the issue. I'm not trying to do that weird stuff.
I'm just being a jerk.
I think it's a very interesting phrase of giving a thought of giving him that extra like 2 weeks to get healthy.
Yeah.
But my issue was more about Chris Jones not being there last Sunday than it was like the offense of their starting left tackle not being there.
The run defense is a nightmare right now in Kansas City. It's funny to me because you keep hearing, oh, wow, the formula to beat the Chiefs is like run the ball and keep Mahomes out the field. Honestly, the reason you can run the ball is because the defense is so bad. It's not about time of possession. It's about just taking what they give you, and they're just giving it.
And the other thing that you just said is taking. I was not a huge fan of Gunther Cunningham over all those years. But one thing he did, maybe it's because he was older, he said, screw it, we're bringing a blitz. Because when you have Patrick Mahomes, it's okay to let up the big play if it's going to get Mahomes back on the field sooner. So my issue right now with the Chiefs is I'm watching them not blitzing a lot. Like against Watson, it was 10 plays of slow death, and then they'd score on the goal line. I think the Chiefs need to play as aggressive as their offense is. That's why I like San Francisco right now. They're matching their offense. So get the ball back to Patrick. They had no time of possession that last game. I think he's okay. And this was also when I think people started taking Patrick to God level last year, was when he played the Broncos on a short week and threw a left-handed pass, and we all went, holy crap, what's that? So I think this game means a lot to him.
I hope he's okay. I mean, I literally wake up every morning and say a little prayer for Patrick Mahomes.
Say a little prayer for Mahomes.
He is our only hope. Man, I think as like a society, I mean, I think number three
is a pretty good hope too.
Well, I say that because he's in the AFC and he's our only hope to take down the Death Star. But the thing is, his statistics pre and post ankle injury are rough. And Reed does a great job of trying to account for his limited mobility. We know that the Chiefs screen game is a nightmare, right? And I think he's come up with some pretty smart ways to utilize that in this last game. But I just think this team is good enough. He is so good that you can take an L and make sure he's right, personally.
I understand, like, especially he's in a division, too, where I think the Raiders are a little bit better than people think, but they're not the biggest threat in the world. I would say that this is a team without their starting left tackle. This is a team without Sammy Watkins, and we can joke about his $16 million a year, but when him and Tyreek and Kelce are on the field, it's a lot different. And for the third week in a row, it was man-to-man defense. Like my other co-host, Warren Sharp, I had him dive into the Texans. I said, what do they do zone versus man? Heading into the game, it was 70% zone. I went and looked at the game. It was a lot of man.
The Colts did the same thing.
And so did Belichick and so did Patricia. So now it's, let's get these guys healthy so they can stop playing man. And Patrick, why don't we run him very early in the game on like a boot? And I know you're wincing, but just give the fear of the run.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I love that strategically.
Right.
Conceptually. Yeah. I just don't think they need it. And it's funny. Patrick Mahomes is, the funny thing about last season to me was we would try so hard as a football analyzing community to come up with what are his weaknesses? Mm. What do you do to stop him? I think the best anyone could come up with was the disguise coverages. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe Hightower will be there and
show
take him up.
Show a blitz drop out.
But, you know, The correct answer is when his mobility is limited, it really does affect his game because he is a great pocket passer. But, you know, the magic is from when he is able to escape the pocket, throw on the run, throw all these incredible off-platform throws. And when that's not there, he goes from being this magician to just a very good quarterback. So I
love that you care about him so much.
Well, I'm not on a first name basis like you, but I do.
That's what I do for everybody.
I do have his name tattooed in Old English across my back. If I had space for another tattoo below Wilson and Mahomes at this point, it would be a fellow you just mentioned, his team, because they just beat Kansas City.
Deshaun Watson's my 3-2.
He's playing out of his mind right now.
I think Deshaun Watson's one of these guys that we're amazed by him, and we still haven't seen him at his best yet.
I agree.
I'm a little bit worried that they lost another offensive lineman.
Titus Howard, yeah.
And it's just, I feel so bad that he has to, and I don't know if it's that franchise and like with David Carr back in the day and their inability to get good offensive linemen and keep them healthy. He still doesn't even have Kenny Stills back. And we saw in the Saints game what he's capable of. Carlos Hyde, I don't know if that was just a revenge game.
He's been good.
He's been ever
since the trade.
I mean, he was even good. He has these moments. It doesn't make sense. But I look at Deshaun Watson, and what I saw in the Chiefs game was complete composure.
Yeah.
Running when he needed to. If it was third and short, they were really good at kind of dropping Hopkins into those short zones for those easy completions. And I know that we've turned into this thing about how he breaks down defenses after the games.
Love that bit.
I was able to interview him one time. This was with Sims at the Super Bowl, and we were off air, and Sims has this obsession with talking about Patriots play calls because they're like wildly complex and no other team uses them. And Watson, because of Bill O'Brien, knew all of them. And to watch his brain work, that's not just a one-time thing on the podium. I have always been amazed at his ability to break down defenses.
He's a super smart guy, and I love what you said about how we haven't seen the best of his football, because something he said recently that struck me, it wasn't, look, I love the bit where he breaks down defenses.
Sure.
It is a delight.
Yeah.
But he, I believe it was after this last game, the previous game, he talked about how what he's been doing to get the ball out quicker, how he knows. And there's this sort of debate right now but I think increasingly analytically inclined folks are putting sacks and pressure more on quarterbacks. And Deshaun Watson is kind of the poster child for that.
Because he holds the ball too long.
Because he holds the ball so long. And I personally don't think he does not have a good offensive line at all.
Right.
But I think those things have conspired against him. That offensive line, yes, they lost Titus Howard, and that hurts. They have looked better than ever, because over the last two games, he has gotten the ball out so quickly, okay? And I think in this last game, the Chiefs game, he was just taking what they were giving him underneath. You talked about how they used Hopkins out of the slot on those little short throws. Fantasy owners might not be thrilled about it, but it is working for him. It is keeping him upright. And when he throws the ball in less than 2.5 seconds, he is phenomenal.
I am actually realizing that I think his last two games have actually set him up to maybe help that mindset. So two games ago, he played Carolina, and he was under attack the entire game.
Rough.
And he missed the one deep throw to Fuller and the one deep throw to Hopkins. But candidly, that was his only two chances. That Panthers front seven, I believe, is the best in football. They're the reason we're talking about Jameis dropping off so far. You can say those five interceptions are his fault, but give the credit to the Panthers defense.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes through a game where he gets destroyed and he didn't get the ball out quick enough. Then the second week, the last week was Atlanta. And Atlanta is this team that chronically is this short pass to running back funnel, because Dan Quinn has always done that.
You can also do anything against them right now,
really,
to be fair.
But the real weakness of that team, as Kyler did again, is get the ball out of your hands to a running back,
totally.
Get it, and then let him go. So he's under a lot of pressure. Then he plays a team, and then it's like, does it click? And now he goes against Kansas City, and he does it perfectly. And if Fuller catches one of those three deep balls,
ridiculous.
They win by double digits.
And then, by the way, that's what the other thing I love about sort of this evolution of his game, he's not giving up the deep ball. It's there. It's just augmented by this quick passing game, and it's all working together, because then defenses have to make adjustments to account for, you know, how quickly he's getting rid of the ball, and as you mentioned, those short passes. It's just, it's so great to see him make that adjustment yet again. So
I would still take the Colts over the Texans, though, right now.
Would you?
Yeah.
We'll get to that. QB is way down my list, but
He's the fourth one for me in God. No.
Well, okay. So I think
you don't have a fourth God mode. My God, my fourth God mode is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's right. He's my fourth quarterback.
But you don't have him in God mode.
I don't have him in God mode right now.
So you saw him against the Detroit Lions down double digits with no fear in his eye, drop a 35-yard touchdown to some dude named Lazard in the bucket for a touchdown, convince the refs with his Jedi mind trick to call two false penalties. And
if those don't get called, it's quite a different if the refs do their job. Really.
So, like, for me, we're getting down to the quarterbacks that are not as physically talented as the top three.
Okay, well, I think he's physically talented.
Right,
yeah.
But I also think that these guys have the control and also the ability to read defenses and the ability to have seen so many defenses that this puts them towards the God level. And I think Aaron still has the physical, and I believe that we have not seen the best of him this season. He's in this LaFleur high chair right now.
I'm judging this. It's ironic. It's LaFleur, but you're calling it a high chair. I think that I'm judging this based on the whole season. I think Rodgers has not put together a complete football game. That's my issue with him. And then, by the way, that's on both him and LaFleur, I think. LaFleur has really struggled at times situationally. It's also on the fact that, you know, their wide receiver core is a disaster right now.
Yeah.
Again, that's a credit to Rodgers.
Shout out Jake Kumerow.
What we saw. Lazard. Is that good? He's 6'5", by the way.
I love the story that came afterwards. It's like Rodgers was, he sits next to me in all the meetings. He takes so much notes. It was his time.
I love it.
Yeah, and Toronto Mallison and Devontae Adams are done.
I think Rodgers already looks a lot better than last season. I do not doubt that he belongs in that top tier. I just think his play up to this point has been a bit uneven.
I agree.
There have been quarters where you've seen the throwaways, so I think they're getting there. I've been very high on this Packers team since the summer. I was really high on the defense, and I think once they get guys back, I think him and LaFleur are starting to figure it out, by which I mean LaFleur is just letting him go.
Pretty much.
Hey, I'm in the fourth quarter, but he's my firm number four. My number five, Adam.
Oh, this is where
I think is
going
to surprise you.
Okay. So this, we are now into what mode?
We're still in the same. Okay, so now we're in pretty good.
Pretty.
So these are good quarterbacks. These are great quarterbacks,
okay,
really.
Good.
Great quarterbacks.
Yes.
This is a weird one.
I think you're going to pick Matt Ryan.
No, he's the next one.
Okay. I went Tom Brady fifth.
I went Matt Stafford.
Wow.
Folks, he's got his hand on his mouth.
I do.
That was his
reaction. So what I did was I originally did it 1 through 5.
Don't show me.
No, you're not
going to
see.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, 1.5s and 2.5s to try and like create this scale.
Do you truly believe that at this moment in time, based on what you've seen this season, Tom Brady is the fifth best quarterback in the NFL?
So here's how I broke it down for me. Is I'm watching him under attack. I'm watching him look very Eli at times where he sees pressure in his face and he immediately goes to the ground. And I go, would Carson Wentz do that? No. Would Matt Ryan do that? No. But there gets to the point where I go, if he has the ball in a game winning situation, he is magical.
Right.
And there are certain things that I can't quantify.
You trust him. Who's in this group for you? Let's just talk about the group as a whole.
In this group.
My producer is texting me panicked. This is going to be really long.
Okay. So then my next group is 5 through 10. Okay. Because I already put Rodgers in my top four.
Okay. So you've got six guys.
Six guys in this group.
Okay. I don't, but yeah.
Tom Brady.
Okay.
Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Matt Ryan.
Okay.
Drew Brees.
Oh, see, okay, I wasn't sure if I should rank Drew Brees. Yes, he would be in there for me as well.
Lamar Jackson, and then Matt Stafford.
That's wrong.
I understand.
Matt Stafford's been really good this season.
Matt Stafford has been phenomenal. At the same point,
so we have all the same guy. Well, no, actually,
Yeah, who do you not have in there that I do?
Well, you've got Lamar way higher.
Do you have Lamar?
Oh, wait. No, you don't. I'm sorry. I messed up. No, we have the same order from there, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Or not the same order. Pardon me. The same names.
Yes.
We just have them in different orders.
Okay, that's
so
a good
I'm going to read you my order.
Please. Let me hear your order.
People aren't going to like this. Stafford, as I mentioned. You know Matty Ice. I stand for him.
Love him.
So hard. By the way, Matty Ice, this is all I'll say about him. First quarterback in NFL history to complete over 80% of his passes for over 300 yards with 4 touchdowns and no picks and lose a football game. That's from Crimealytics.
The only rain that I'm going to have on your parade, and it's part of the reason why I tried to get Matt Ryan in all my fantasy leagues.
He did nothing wrong.
He has played every game in a dome thus far. And he will be playing every game in a dome for the next few weeks. And he's played Arizona, and he's played a few other of these teams that Matt's numbers are supposed to be huge right now.
True.
And also his defense is so bad, he's getting so many reps. But
well, he's been put in a bad, obvious passing situations.
And his offensive line's been hurt. So I'm not faulting him, but I'm not over-celebrating him. But he is definitely a top eight quarterback.
Have you ever seen that video of the guy who defends Britney Spears, like, leave Britney alone? I'm so close to making one of those for Matt Ryan.
You are. When you came on my podcast and a local Atlanta newspaper was like, Mina Kimes says Matt Ryan's the best quarterback in the NFL.
I became the queen of Falcons Twitter overnight.
Cool. It was so cool.
I pandered to them so hard after that. I got a little taste of their...
I'm pandering to Saints fans right now because they hated me last year. And I just said that with the Pope tweet and the fact that he used the phrase he used is about saints praying for humans. Mm. And in it, if you go into the Bible, into Revelations, it talks about being at the hand of God. And when you look and realize that the more powerful hand of God is the right hand of God, and that's the part of Drew Brees' body that's hurt right now, and he will be the angel that delivers them a Super Bowl. That's how I'm pandering to Saints fans.
When I saw that Pope tweet about the Saints, I made a safe joke. I had a joke that was too risque.
So your safe one was, surprisingly, Alvin Kamara's playing today. What was it?
Teddy's going to throw Hail Marys or something.
Nice.
Safe joke. My not safe joke, I'm going to whisper right now. Pope, not surprising, he's a Saints fan, knows a thing or two about illegal contact. Okay. Wow. And we're back. Okay, so
that's the best part about Mina, is she hits you with great content, but you know that there's so much better content that she's not
putting
out.
Everybody's so angry because no one got to hear that, and we were talking about it. It's not
Lenny's sitting there going, I hear it all the time.
That was a very strange voice.
Okay, so you have Stafford ahead of all of those.
Stafford, Ryan, then I got Wentz.
Yeah, I have Wentz and Ryan switched compared to
yours. Let's talk about Wentz, because this is your account. So we're still in the good guys.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what Doug Peterson is calling early in games.
It's very distressing.
It's a constant consternation for me. He has not had a deep threat now for the second straight season because we saw one game of DeSean Jackson.
It was spectacular.
It was spectacular. And they tried to do it with Mike Wallace last year. It worked when we had Torrey Smith. We need DeSean Jackson back to see what happens. So he has all these underneath guys, Alshons and Ertzes, and his offensive line, Jason Peters, just missed half the game on Sunday. But what Carson Wentz is able to do in terms of reestablishing a pocket while under pressure, keeping a play alive, he has all the tools of the God mode. But right now, I'm not seeing the deep ball accuracy, and I'm not seeing some of the other plays, but I think that's more team and coaching related.
I do too. I don't know what it is about him and Alshon Jeffrey, man. It's just like two people who should be together, but they never click.
I think he's still thinking about Nick. Nick Foles' greatest ability.
You never get over your Super Bowl love.
How can you? I mean, they still honor Trent Dilfer, but in Baltimore. But like, I look at Nick, and Nick's best ability was throwing it a half a second early to Alshon.
Yeah.
And he would lob it up to
where he trusted him.
And Wentz waits to see it. And that's my one knock on Wentz, is I don't see him release the ball early a lot. I see him go, there's the window, I'm going to throw it 100 miles an hour. And Nick was a little bit better of getting it before the defense realized it.
Boy, we're going to get to Jacksonville, and I think that's quite a pickle they're in. But yeah, I agree. It irks me that anyone can look at what the Eagles have done this season and blame Wentz for any of it.
No, I don't think they are. I think they're blaming the secondary, they're blaming injuries, and they're blaming some Doug play calling in the first quarter.
Okay, so we're staying in this good zone. I've got Brady next, which is sacrilege, I know.
So you have him at seven. So our 5, 6, and 7 are the same, just different order.
I think so, yeah. So I think you had Lamar earlier. I have Lamar next, but...
Okay,
so
I have Brees.
We basically have the same...
Lamar.
Okay, so I forgot to... I didn't do Brees, I did Bridgewater, but, you know, it's whatever.
Oh, yeah, I did both of them.
Oh, you're so totalistic. So
which one interests you the most?
Well, let's talk about Brady for a second. So I agree with you. It feels a little irrelevant because he's not a top quarterback, but in the Super Bowl, he'll lead the game winning drive. I believe those facts. He's looked real bad the last couple games. I think the defense is so good, it probably doesn't matter. he just needs to do two really good drives a game.
Right.
I think if you take out Edelman, that's going to be hard for them to do. That's something I think right now is a real issue with them.
Yeah, well, my problem is who are his weapons? So, like, you just named his one weapon.
Yeah.
He has Edelman and running backs. He has James White and Burkhead out of the backfield. He has Sony Michel. None of the tight ends are difference makers. Josh Gordon is now hurt. They're hoping N'Keal Harry comes back. The thing that Gronk provided Brady was a 50-50 ball guy. And he doesn't have a single guy on the roster right now. That was the one way the touchdown got scored in the Super Bowl, was a deep ball to Gronk where he went up and took it from somebody.
Right.
Nothing else worked.
It should be Josh Gordon.
But
there's something, even when he wasn't hurt though, there's like, they're still not 100% on
the same
page.
He had great moments in the Miami game. He had great moments in the Jets game. I think Josh Gordon can be that guy, but there's just not a lot of difference makers on that side of the ball.
I'll wrap it up by saying I am very concerned about this offensive line.
Fair.
Center's out, David Andrews, Mark Cannon's banged up, Isaiah Wynn's out for several weeks.
Yeah, designated to return, but we'll see how he plays.
Losing the fullback, sneaky, underrated issue in terms of
protection. I forgot they lost James Devlin.
Devlin.
It is very upsetting to me that the two offenses that I respect the most are the Niners and the Patriots in terms of scheme. And both of them are the highest usage of 21 personnel in the NFL.
Upsetting.
Two running backs.
It's upsetting.
And both lost their fullback.
I think the Niners will be fine. But yeah, I think the Patriots are a good example of what we were discussing earlier, which is quarterbacks who make their offensive lines look worse or better. And I think if Brady isn't 100% Brady, these issues with the offensive line that already exist on account of the injuries are going to be magnified.
Your guy Michael Bennett just got suspended for a game.
For what?
Patriots defensive end Michael Bennett suspended after getting into, quote, philosophical disagreement with his position coach. Which is interesting because they've been playing a lot of 3-4 this year, and they definitely signed him and said, or traded for him and said, we're going to play a lot of 4-3.
His snaps also have been declining rapidly. I love that.
I love where that story could develop into. Michael Bennett in the Patriots getting upset could be great for all of us.
I think it's a good, it's a good thing. We've got a man on the inside. Okay, so let's do Lamar here because I had him next. You had him a little bit earlier, but he's still in this zone. I actually didn't have him in pretty, pretty good. I had him in chore.
Okay. So you had him a fringe guy, and I had him one spot ahead of
still
Stafford.
Still good. We're still in the good zone, like the above average quarterbacks. But
Lamar is just the most complete weapon at the quarterback position. When I say complete, he is the most dynamic running weapon in the game right now. And I think that when they've had Hollywood Brown and they've had speed on the field, we've been able to see how dynamic Lamar can be. Now, I thought Willie Snead was fast, and I was wrong. He's not separating from anybody right now.
Willie Snead's
a
fourth.
I think, fourth. I know that Mark Andrews is fast for a tight end, but he's not scaring anyone over the top. The Ravens are built on strength and size, and Hollywood is their one speed element. And just like I think it's unfair to kind of look at Carson Wentz without Deshaun, that's kind of how I feel about Lamar in these games without Hollywood.
Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, gave a really interesting interview where he said he's never been in a situation where every game defenses are playing them so differently.
That's
right?
So cool.
And I think he said like the last four games it was an entirely different defense every single game. And they are taking what the defenses give them. And I think you saw that in the Bengals game. Lamar went off. He ran for like 150 yards because that's what they were giving him. They were also giving him some of the shorter passes. By the way, he was more accurate on the short stuff in this last game, which I think is, if you're a Ravens fan, what you want to see. Can he make those short intermediate passes, which he struggled with a lot during his rookie season? So I think that's great. I think he has been uneven. I think you're right about the impact of Hollywood. I do think if there was one thing like that probably was overemphasized from that first offense game, it was the deep pass.
Absolutely.
Because he does have a nice deep ball, but he's not perfect.
No.
But he has all the tools. He has the mental processing. It's really just the short accuracy, I think, that's an issue. But I remain a tremendous fan based on where he is. So my next guy, and we're in good.
So we're now into the third tier.
We're in tier three.
So I think it's interesting that your first guy is kind of like the poster boy for this segment. So who is your poster boy for just good, tier three? Was it Lamar?
I had Brady as my first one.
Wow.
I know.
Look, you're not crazy.
I mean,
I thought
it's
I
more
was
of a
being
philosophical,
crazy putting him up that high.
It's how are we, like, because everything you said, I agree with him.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
about? This guy, I think, truly belongs in this tier right now, even though through weeks 1 through 3, he was playing in God mode. That's Dak Prescott. I've got him here.
I have him second in this category.
Okay. Who do you have ahead of him?
I have Derek Carr one spot ahead of Dak.
I
find them almost interchangeable.
Give
them the exact same rating. Yes.
So I have Derek Carr in this tier as well, and he has played well, and we'll talk about why. I have Phillip Rivers in between them.
I have Phillip Rivers so much lower than this.
Phillip Rivers. So earlier I said about Deshaun Watson, he is the source of a lot of his offensive line's problems. Phillip Rivers is the exact opposite. He is the source of none of their... They are just bad.
Russell Okung had...
so bad.
Blood clots before the season, yeah. So they haven't had their left tackle. They just
disaster.
Lost their starting center.
Just a disaster.
The Chargers don't really have an analytics department. They're one of the most injured teams of all time. They have a stadium with no home fans. They had a holdout that when the running back comes back, it made him more clogged up. I get it. But I'm just saying, I'm seeing what Phillip Rivers' arm looked like in the playoffs last year. That's what it's looked like
really?
To start the season.
Interesting.
Disagree?
I saw him. I thought he had some nice zip on his passes, and he still does that little perfectly accurate flick through traffic that just is one of my favorite things. But agree to disagree. So you have Dak and Derek. Let's talk about Dak and Derek because they're the other two next. We're pretty close so far.
This is pretty accurate.
So let's talk about Dak.
I think Dak is. Dak is going to end up having a career in the media like Cam, where what I mean, like in terms of how the media discusses him, where his name elicits reactions and we're not even listening to the conversations. People hear Dak and they put every loss on him. And when it's a win, they don't give him any credit for him. So I find myself always defending Dak. I think that his mobility gives him a huge advantage over other guys in this area of the quarterback because when he runs, it can be very dangerous, especially in the red zone. I don't find him wildly accurate, but I also think that he can be a very successful quarterback in this league. I feel like you're even more passionate about Dak than I am.
No, I think there are a lot of things happening with that team that are contriving against him over the last few games. I think obviously, the loss of Tyron Smith, who was finally, after we spent months debating whether Zeke's absence had more, we finally, have some nice evidence that Tyron Smith was always.
And they didn't have Lyle Collins either.
Important. Yes. So the offensive line is an issue. I don't know what's going on with the play calling. I truly don't. It's
I think
befuddling.
I think when you play, one of the easiest schedules ever to start a season with those three games
that.
In Miami and everything's working great. And then all of a sudden you
even
get into a tough
that,
game. I'm talking about all of a sudden when you're going, this third down means everything. Not, hey, this third down because we're up 14.
Let's have fun.
That's when we learn what kind
you
of a play caller
tense.
You are.
Yeah, there's too much tension. I mean, it's just, it looks like Linehan. I mean, it's, running on early downs, obviously the decline in play action. You've got receivers running the same routes just to the six over and over.
And I don't think teams are as afraid of Zeke right now. And I don't think Zeke
looks fully
healthy right now.
100%.
I look at Dalvin and I go, that's what Zeke used to look like.
I don't know. Yeah, and it's not like he's running into stack boxes, by the way. So I don't know what it is. But I'll just say this. Dak, his, next gen stats has that completion percentage above expected. He's still very high in that. So he's defying the constraints being put around him. I still think I'm hopeful.
Do you think the contract's weighing on him at all? How could it not be?
No, I think having three wide receivers run the same routes over and over is weighing.
Sure.
I mean, I think he's fine. I really don't. By the way, those receivers too after Amari, woof.
You're not a Gallup fan.
Woof. I was. He's been not helpful.
Yeah.
He gets away with a lot because his name is such a perfect wide receiver name, Gallup. It's such a Cowboys name.
I tried to warn everybody, too, about Randall Cobb after week one, where if you look at Randall Cobb's week one output over the last few years, it's responsible for a ridiculous percentage over all of the year. Like, last year, his week one was responsible for, 37% of his yearly yards. And then he killed it in week one this year, and I was like, don't bite into
this
apple.
There's a group of players I classify where you are upset when you hear their age. Robert Quinn is the number, the poster child
really
for this.
That really upsets you. Randall, what is he, 26?
Randall Cobb, 29. But he's not. He should be older than
I covered Randall Cobb in college, so.
Okay. He's a nice, he's a great guy.
Great guy.
Should be older than
Unbelievable
me.
Unbelievable eyeballs.
Should, oh, beautiful eyes.
Beautiful.
Riveting. Speaking of riveting, brilliant eyes, let's talk about Carr.
Okay.
And we'll wrap this up. I have one more guy in this category, but I don't feel good about it. Now I'm going to move him down. I changed my mind.
Yeah, I have Carr, so 11th overall, which I think is higher than you.
It's like 30 minutes. Well over 30 minutes at this point. Yeah, okay. So I think Derek Carr is greatly benefiting.
How long are your average podcasts?
They're like an hour and 10.
What's your longest podcast you've ever done? Is it me?
No, I think the draft-ish time, maybe I had some that were
you
like
You picked
an hour
a very
and
long
half.
Topic. But I think that your audience loves this. Like I would say to your audience right now, if you love this, you should tweet at Mina Kimes. I love when you do long podcasts.
My producer
and then tweet at the
cringing. They're so upset. Okay, so but Carr is benefiting from two things right now. That offensive line is playing
and Tom
very well.
Cable.
It's very upsetting. And by the way, yeah, Bevel and Cable.
Isn't that incredible?
Chilling. No, you know, actually not chilling because I was always a Bevel defender. You can look up my record on this, but I was not a Cable defender. And then the other thing, I actually think three things. Cable, I think my big takeaway from the Bears game and how they neutralized Khalil Mack is John Gruden is still a good play caller.
Absolutely.
And did a terrific job of neutralizing him. And then the third thing is Josh Jacobs, balling.
Yes.
Balling. And
yes.
I think Carr is really benefiting from that.
Look, we talk about Sean McVay. Oh, he came from Kyle Shanahan. Well, where do they both work under as very young coaches? John Gruden. It's about not establishing the run. I don't want to get into that whole thing, but using play action and using similar looking plays. And when you finally have a guy like Josh Jacobs that is truly a threat, now Derek Carr actually has some places to go. I'm still thinking of Derek Carr a little bit as that 11-2 MVP type season he was having before the injury. I still think about that Derek Carr.
Shouldn't have
been
an MVP. That was
He was playing really, really well. He was in the discussion. We can give him that.
He benefited from a bunch of fourth quarter comebacks on primetime, but he was still, you know, a check down Charlie, which again, if it's working,
right.
If you're moving the ball efficiently, it's fine.
Look, I'm a lot like you. I'm willing to say that I might have him overrated. I probably do. I just think that I like what they're working with right now. And I still have those flashbacks of him doing no-look passes, and I'm a little bit higher on him than I probably should be.
Paul Feinbaum just walked by and nodded to me. We've never met, but
I wiped sweat off my face in the bathroom, and he was in there, and I went, "What's up?" And he didn't say anything.
I'm not going to spend. I don't really want to talk about this guy in depth because I actually feel like we don't know anything about him. But I threw him in this category because I actually think he's playing efficiently, and that's Jimmy G.
I had Carr at 11. 9 spots down, I had Philip Rivers at 20. 1 spot ahead of Philip Rivers, I have Jimmy G at 19. Okay. I have a lot of question marks about
him. He's a cipher at this point. I don't really think anyone knows what he is. So I don't even think
this is where our rankings are going to get very differently. Who is somebody in that range that you think you have higher than I do?
Maybe Kirk Cousins.
So what number?
He's next for me.
Okay, so I'll give you mine. So I went.
Don't spoil it for the people. They gotta know. Don't worry. We'll get to it. Jimmy G.
Stop posting. I apologize.
You know, no, it's okay. I appreciate it, Jimmy G. You are. I think we both view him the same way. I'm just kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think he's done a good job of executing that offense. I think he's going to get picked. He's got like a 3-pick game.
See major mechanical problems.
You do.
On the throw to Tevin Coleman, hits his feet.
Yeah, that was rough.
He's got these lazy feet sometimes where he sits in the pocket and he throws it flat-footed.
Mm.
And the thing is your offensive line, I know you don't have two tackles, you don't have your fullback, you can step into your throws. The other thing with Jimmy G is I love George Kittle quote where he said, remember when y'all were like, oh wow, 5 interceptions in practice. Now you see how good our defense is. Kind of makes a little bit of sense now, huh?
Ooh, that is a good quote.
That was really, really nice.
And yet he does have that in him regardless.
Garoppolo, in my mind, I need one or two more plays from him a game.
Yeah.
That take the 49ers from one of the best in the league to the best in the league.
Right.
I think they have that chance to be the best team in the league.
Right.
And it's about Garoppolo making one or two more plays a game and not being sloppy.
The defense is so good right now that they look to me like those Jaguars teams where if Blake Bortles doesn't turn the ball over, he just needs to be efficient and not turn the ball over. And so, he might. He might have that. He's been that so far this year.
So in my whole Legion of Bloom with the Seattle Seahawks, the fact that the division is likely to come down to Richard Sherman on the Niners as your biggest opponent is some beautiful storytelling.
I love him. I don't care.
How can you not?
Says.
That's okay.
It is a great story. Speaking of great stories, hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's CEO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that is how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Mina. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MINA, ZipRecruiter.com/Mina. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
We're going to go through these quickly because we are... This is adding up. HA, as always, if you leave a review with 5 stars... I'll answer a question. H.A. Adams 82 asks, so these are from August. How can you expect your team to be anything with a quarterback making a salary like that? 5-1! Gravy Crockpot asks, is it acceptable? I want to ask you this one.
Yes.
Is it acceptable to have a second team you root for in the NFL?
Absolutely. So, I have like 8 teams, but okay. I think it's acceptable
who's
to have a second team.
Who's your top second team? So the Eagles, Adams and
Eagles. Eagles are 1,000% number one. I would say that it's felt like the Niners this year.
Really?
It's in the
NFC though. I don't do that. I do AFC teams.
Oh, you have to understand. I was at my house and I had picked the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Contest against the Saints. And I'm standing on Rosh Hashanah at the TV going, that's a bad call, rooting for the Cowboys. And my dad looks at my mom and goes, what has happened to our son? We shouldn't let him in our house on this high holy day.
Your dad's great.
But I've reached a point now where I care more about being right than I care about my team sometimes.
Really? I'm still
Until it gets to the playoffs.
I'm still not there. All of my fantasy interests, all of my being right interests get cast. The only thing I care about more is if I have like a story and I'm like, ooh, it would be really good if like, you know, Michael Thomas got a touchdown here.
Of course.
So my second team, actually historically, it's been the Bills for a long
time.
Great
year to be their second team.
Yeah, the year that they
Rams would be your second team after calling their games.
The year that they made it to the playoffs 2 years ago with Tyrod and Dalton got them in. I was at a Bills bar when that happened, and I was cheering and screaming, and
we were screaming
the song, and it was awesome. Brother Stills, I also like the Ravens, who Seahawks are playing next week.
I like smart football teams.
I like their organization.
Yeah.
I've always liked John Harbaugh. Kind eyes.
Scary eyes. Intimidating eyes. Like,
really? I think they're kind.
If you asked me who's been the most intimidating eye contact you've ever made in your life, I would say John Harbaugh.
I guess to me, it's like the comparison to Jim Harbaugh. He just
there
looks like
no comparison.
An extremely relaxed Jim Harbaugh, which any human being would look like less,
anxious. I do not enjoy that guy.
Brother Stills wants to know if there is a way for teams to maximize running back potential without sacrificing longevity so they could get a second contract.
Oof.
I mean, that's a long conversation. The whole running back contract issue we've talked about a lot because they're so hurt by the rookie wage scale. I think first round picks probably benefit from it because they make so much money. I don't think that there's any way you can like ask teams to use them less or use them differently.
Right. I think it's interesting from the fantasy perspective. We get very upset when there's running backs by committee. But when it's actually our team, we're like, no, please give Royce Freeman the ball so Philip Lindsay's career can last longer.
Yeah.
And then I look at the other side and I see like 99% usage rate for Christian McCaffrey. And we're here sitting around going, he's an MVP candidate.
Not my MVP.
And in the back of my head, I'm going, I hope he lasts.
Yeah. had a whole rant about like his usage. It was
it's scary.
It's wild. He's going to break records, you know.
That's my fear with Saquon. By the time the Giants figure it out, what's left, it's scary.
People were upset when I tweeted that when David Johnson hurt his arm, I was like, this might be kind of good for David Johnson because it's like his arm. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Gets to take a year off. He got his second contract.
But, right. That's a good point.
KM250. So the answer is, I guess, fake an injury. But like something like, you know, upper body. KM257. And this will be the last question. Which quarterback? So this was before Gardner Minshew. Which quarterback pulls off the best mustache? So let me change the question. Who's a quarterback you wish had a mustache?
Great question. I'm going to go with the number one quarterback on my list.
Russell Wilson?
If Russell Wilson did that slick back hair thing that he was doing in the offseason with the mustache,
it would be a great look.
Get Josh Cashman, you know, get him together. He could do a whole meme thing with the mustache.
That's Cable Thanos, who I described to Adam as the greatest content creator of all time.
I believe
our
he
time.
Might be.
Our time.
To watch his glow up. To where he's this guy that everyone said, who's making these weird videos? To then I watch this offseason, he's playing Mario Kart with Russell Wilson and then realizing they've created a brand partnership. And little note to everybody that goes, Tom Brady is the funniest guy on Twitter.
Who says that?
Well, when Tom Brady did his little TikTok of him running and then splicing in videos of things, people were like, wow, he's already taking it over. If you believe that Tom Brady is creating his own content, we have to have a bigger discussion.
When Russell Wilson tweeted his own face crying at me about the Rams stuff.
Oh, how did that feel?
It's the whole thing. But I messaged Cable Thanos and I was like, this is you, right? And he was like, no, Russell writes his own. He said you can tell because look at all the emojis he uses. He says he put it in front of him, but then he likes to write his own content. I believe him. How could you not believe Cable Thanos? I'm going to transition from this mustache question back to the quarterbacks because my next quarterback is actually one who I think could benefit from a mustache, and that's Kirk Cousins. I've often said that Kirk Cousins looks normal until he smiles.
Oh, and his whole face kind of gets a little devilish. Gets very pointy.
It's like the Joker thing.
He looks like my former producer, Josh.
Oh, sorry, Josh.
They could work in IT.
So your team just got shredded by Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
What'd you see?
Kirk Cousins right now is third in the NFL in quarterback rating.
Quarterback rating is hilarious.
He has the longest air yard completion in the NFL this season.
Sure.
Which I found to be very, very funny.
Yeah.
I believe that when the Vikings get ahead and create favorable game flow, Kirk Cousins could be arguably a top 10 quarterback towards the back end in this league. Mm. It's when the running game isn't working and you realize they only have two wide receivers that you have to be worried about. And if they play the Niners and the Niners can use that front four and drop guys back,
Kirk is
in trouble.
Not going to go well.
No, but when he plays the Eagles and Jim Schwartz, who goes, we're bringing 10. Yeah, we're going to lob it up to Diggs and he's going to have success.
Do you think the Eagles have the worst secondary in the NFL right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Hands down.
Have you watched the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, now that Arizona has Patrick Peterson back, now it's debatable. And the Atlanta Falcons, their whole defense stinks. Dan Quinn.
It is shocking. It is shocking how bad they are. But I think that's right. They're kind of, what I saw in the Eagles game was, I think what people hoped you'd get out of Kirk for the season, ton of play action, deep shots off of that. He was efficient. He was throwing darts, honestly. I mean,
all of his best games have been at home. Yeah. Philadelphia, their secondary stinks. Atlanta, we see their secondary.
Yeah.
Green Bay was really just domination, or Oakland was domination with Dalvin Cook.
So we're in the thinking emoji section, to be clear. And I think this is where it's going to get hairy because a bunch of guys.
So I had one guy ahead of Kirk that
didn't
say. And it's probably Jacoby Brissett.
So he's next, actually.
I have Jacoby one spot ahead of Kirk Cousins.
So he's been fine. It's funny because I think, it was Frank Reich who said, well, he's definitely one of the 20 best quarterbacks in the NFL. You know what? Sure, Frank.
Yeah.
I think that's about right.
Yeah.
He's solidly one of the 20 best quarterbacks. I don't think he's one of the 15 best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he is fully in that 15 to 20 range. He's not winning them games. He's not losing them games. He looked awesome against Atlanta, but literally, you know, my landlord would look awesome against Atlanta. I don't have a landlord. That's how bad it is. I think he looks like a game manager. I don't know.
I think he's one step up from a game manager. I think also there's this notion of, it's probably because of the Andrew Luck story that we're a little bit fawning over his leadership stories and everything that's coming out right now. But there is something about a guy that can take over the reins of a franchise. The fact that Andrew Luck felt jealous about Jacoby Brissett's control over the team when he was still playing says a lot about somebody. I think that Jacoby is also wildly intelligent at the position.
Totally.
And I think that I do value my quarterbacks a little bit more if they can put the running game and other stuff in a better position because they're able to see that. So I think I'm giving his intangibles a little bit higher.
Incredible mustache.
Great mustache.
I think you're right about that. I was going to say, well, here's some cool things he did in the Atlanta game, but I just kind of feel like you have to write off every quarterback who plays Atlanta at this point.
Atlanta, Miami, those games aren't usable.
Who do you have next?
So then if I get through that, my next one is a guy that I believe that I have higher than you in most. I have Kyler Murray next.
I thought you were going to say Josh Allen.
I have Josh Allen after Kyler Murray.
I cowardly put him in Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, but
it was a coward's move I really like him.
Put him over more established guys. That's a cowardly move.
I'm calling you out
on your own pod.
I know. I call myself out first. I 8 miles
did
it. Here's what I love about Kyler Murray. He has looked better.
His real name is Clarence.
He has looked better every game.
That's the problem with Atlanta.
I know. But was his best yet. He looked so accurate throwing the ball, which again, he did that in college. So it's not like, can he really do this? I know he can do it.
I know he can.
The question was, can he do it against NFL defenses? I think him and Kyler are starting, Kyler and Cliff, Jesus, are just names that shouldn't, come on, guys. Like, come on. They're starting to click as well. I think the run game is really working in Arizona, by the way, speaking of the aforementioned David Johnson.
And they're not obsessed with this four wide receiver formation the last few weeks.
They're both adjusting to the NFL, and I think we're seeing that in real time, but I think he has all the tools. I think he has also done a really good job of, increasingly a good job of handling pressure.
I look at Kyler, and I see the next Russell Wilson. And I know that was one of those things before the draft that we kind of, I get it because they're smaller and they're African American. But I'm telling you that I look at Kyler and I see someone that has not even used his wheels to his fullest extent yet. He'll show you these little glimpses of runs.
Oh.
And I just stand up on
that
my seat.
That one, 2 weeks.
Cincinnati.
Oh, my God, where he just turned on the Jets.
And everybody looked like they were in slow motion.
He went 0-60 faster than a Maserati.
So he has that. I also believe out of everyone that's coming up next, and this is the Allens and the Bakers and the Jimmy G's, I think he has the prettiest deep ball out of those guys. I think he already has that. And also, name me one wide receiver on his team that's a guaranteed starter on any other team. And you could say Larry. Larry's solid. Larry's 38 years old, whatever he is. But, like, I'm not getting that. Like, Christian Kirk's been hurt.
Yeah, Christian's been hurt.
He's playing with Demir Byrd.
I haven't really seen Isabella... Excuse me.
Was that an inside joke? Was that an Isabella joke?
No, actually had something in my throat. No, I'm with
his
you.
His offensive line is weak.
If this was a quarterback draft, I would be drafting him very high.
Yeah.
I'm excited about him. It's funny you mentioned how pretty his deep ball is. I think your next guy, Josh Allen, who people think has a really – he doesn't have a pretty deep ball. He just has a strong arm.
Yes.
He's actually been horrible throwing deep.
Oh, there's nothing worse than watching a Josh Allen game, seeing him load up and seeing like John Brown running down the middle and the ball still goes 10 yards ahead.
That must be for, can you imagine John Brown, like the futility of that? It must be like a hamster on a wheel or something. He is 0 for 7.
He's having a great year though.
0 for 7 on passes over 30 yards. Last year he was 2 for 24, by the way. I mean, you know, you're always going to be lower on that, but I don't have Josh Allen next. I want to talk about him briefly. I actually have Goff next. So here's the thing.
I have Goff 7 spots lower.
Goff was really bad in the last game. But he was actually decent against Seattle.
And he was great against Tampa Bay.
So and
after the initial interceptions.
So I think I'm trying to look at these within this, you know, larger sort of picture of their records. That offensive line is playing so bad right now.
And they just lost Notebook.
Now Goff, he's very bad with pressure. That's always been the case, even when they were awesome. So that should factor into who he is as a quarterback, and that's not necessarily on the line. But I just think right now the circumstances are very poor for him.
So you have Goff ahead of Darnold. You have Goff ahead
of... I put Darnold and Scooby-Doo.
Wow.
I know, another cowardly.
So I went, Kyler, Josh, Darnold, Baker, Jimmy G, Phillip Rivers.
Okay, so I've got, I already had a couple of those guys.
Yep. And I have Winston and Teddy ahead of Jared Goff.
That's not right.
I have Winston
and
Teddy
ahead of Jared. That's not right. Take it back.
If you're going to get upset because Jameis Winston threw five picks, it's an easy one and I get it.
We'll talk about Jameis Winston.
But Jameis Winston also threw for 400 yards and he also had Mike Evans deep.
Oh, Mariota. Oh.
I didn't pick Mariota.
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
Okay, sorry. When I hear Winston, I automatically yoke it with Mariota in my mind.
I have Mariota below Daniel Jones.
Okay. I put Jones and Scooby-Doo too.
Oh, you Scoobied everybody.
Okay.
But I have Jameis over Jared Goff. Is that okay?
I just think Goff has shown more than a lot of these guys. I realize we're coming off of literally his worst game ever.
I'm Adam Lefkoe, and I'm biased because I think Sean McVay has built up Jared Goff into something that he's not. And you covered the team, so you can correct me right now.
I think that Jared Goff is an incredible beneficiary of what Sean McVay has done. I also think there were a lot of games last year. He is accurate. There were a lot of games last year where he, I thought, performed above that. I think he is absolutely capable of being an above average quarterback. That contract is troubling at the moment. But I'm just not ready to write him off after the worst game of his career. I just think the prior game kind of brought me back a little bit.
Yeah.
We're in thinking face emoji.
Nobody knows what these guys are.
I actually, by the way, so again, I cowardly put Sam in Scooby-Doo.
Sam is the 17th best quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, so I love Sam, so we'll talk about him. I shunted him to Scooby-Doo. We've talked about Allen.
But you would put Sam over Jared Goff.
If not for Scooby-Doo, yes. I would, if I was starting a team right now, I'd rather have Sam.
No doubt.
But I'm kind of like looking at the exercise a little differently. But I think...
We are.
Allen, so I know I was just criticizing his deep ball. So he's next for me. So, and I think he was kind of in there for you. I did think in this last game against Tennessee, he did something really promising, which is he didn't try to be a hero.
It was like he learned from the New England game and said,
"Yes,
I'll eat these throws."
Full heroed out.
Yes, full heroed.
If he and he's still, by the way, he's not. He's obviously like the closest thing to Cam Newton right now in the NFL in terms of size and the way he runs. He's not running well. He's not, last year when he was kind of tearing up defenses like a little Tonka truck, I said defenses are not going to let him do this next year. And I think that's often been the case at times. But if he doesn't panic, if he doesn't make bad decisions, he does have a very good, I think, set of physical tools.
Yeah. I think... we talked about this before the year of the growth of second-year quarterbacks and how much better that jump is from year one to year two. I think we're clearly seeing it from Sam Darnold. We saw it on Sunday against the Cowboys in a little bit brief. We're clearly seeing it from Lamar Jackson. And I think that we have seen growth in Josh.
I do.
I think the fact that he can even be hero ball, it shows his physical abilities. But his ability to throw slants this year.
Yes.
And I know that's not the big of a deal, but
no.
Like John Brown and Dawson Knox and Cole Beasley, like they can keep drives going. And that Bills defense is that good. But
agree.
Yeah, Josh is his own worst enemy at times. And that's what scares me about him.
Baker.
Yeah.
This could be an entire podcast, but we are fully... fully oversubscribed.
Baker's right there with Jared Goff in terms of this under pressure meltdown guy.
Yeah.
But I think he's more talented than Jared.
He is a guy that is dooming his offensive line. He is a guy that looks like he no longer trusts anything. I don't think he trusts his receivers. I don't think he trusts his coaches. I certainly don't think he trusts his offensive line. And
how can he though?
Well, no, I think he...
Yeah, tell me if I'm wrong.
He deserves more.
I look at Greg Robinson at left tackle, and they traded Kevin Zeitler, and I'm like, this offensive line's not good other than Betonio.
His completion percentage on passes over 2.5 seconds is the lowest in the league by 7 percentage points. He is holding on to the ball too long. That is not their fault.
No.
They're not good. They rank high in like our pass block percent.
When you were watching the game and they were down 20-6 Seattle, did you know you were going to win that game?
When Seattle was down 20-6? No,
yeah.
I didn't. He looked good the first. By the way, and it's funny because I think Kitchens deserves some of the blame, but Kitchens been really good between the 20s. It's really just weird situational stuff. They're like a team that does like 60% of things really well, and then it's that maybe more than 60%, and then it's that final 30%. So it was 70-39.
The thing that I've learned from Warren is teams should be throwing more on first and second down. We know that. Early down success rate. But when you get inside the 20s, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
And it's as these coaches have been listening all week, but they don't listen to this part. Spread it out in their 20s and run with Nick Chubb.
The weird thing about Baker, by the way, he's still very aggressive. He's always been aggressive. But normally with rookie quarterbacks or young quarterbacks like a Josh Allen, the question we ask is, can he learn to be accurate? That's the norm. Lamar. Baker was the most accurate quarterback in football in college and then came into the league and was accurate. And he seems to be going in the opposite direction. And I don't know how to regard that other than that it's mental.
A very busy offseason, Mina. He really did. And
Busy offseason. Okay. I'm still in this zone. I've got two other quarterbacks.
Let's hear them.
In this group. Teddy.
Yep.
His awesome game wasn't against Atlanta, right?
Tampa Bay. He did what we needed him to do.
He has done what we needed to do. It's an interesting one. We did a little exercise where he might end up next year. I threw out Tennessee. Potentially, I don't think he's done enough to get a big contract. He still is just too risk averse.
Denver is interesting.
Denver is an interesting one.
That's where I want Cam Newton to go.
Tampa Bay.
Right.
Speaking of Cam Newton, I didn't rank Cam. I actually put Kyle Allen in this group.
So I have Kyle. I have Kyle one spot below Jared Goff.
Okay.
So, like, right around that area, too. I would have put Cam in between Kirk Cousins and Kyler Murray. That's where I would have put him.
I might have a little bit of recency bias because I thought Kyle looked surprisingly good in the last game. And in the previous games, I think – it's funny. I think if he hadn't played the last game – I mean, you're dealing with a set of evidence. But
well, like the Houston game, he had three fumbles and almost lost the game.
He's a fumble rookie.
Yeah.
Which – that alone should probably drop him. But – I watched this one closely. I thought he looked really accurate. I thought his arm looked really good. A lot of times he just looked like he was playing pitch and catch out there.
There are occasional throws to like Curtis Samuel on deep throws where I go, that's a beautiful ball. But it's not consistent. Like I have Kyle Allen there. Underneath him, I have Gardner Minshew. And now I'm into like Mitchell Trubisky-ville.
Okay. Trubisky's in whoa-whoa for me.
So this category is what? Like
whoa-whoa.
So in that category, then I got Trubisky, Mariota, Dalton, Flacco, Keenum.
I have Winston in here. Do you have Winston?
No, I got Winston. I got Winston one spot ahead of Goff. I'm a little bit higher on Winston.
Let's talk about Winston. So I've actually been a Jameis Winston defender in a football sense. Because I have always felt like he has these patches of games that no one watches when he's really good. Usually it's at the end of the season. People stop caring about the
NFC South matchups.
And so I don't look at this last game. First of all, you were right earlier. You said a lot of the turnovers weren't his fault. That's true. A lot of them were on the line and the receivers.
Yeah, 10 hits.
Carolina's amazing. But man, he did some of the Winston things, the boneheaded things. He is so untrustworthy. Mariota's similarly, although I think his highs are lower. You just can't trust him to be a starting quarterback in the NFL at this point.
I'm watching Bruce Arians
talk to him
on the sideline. And he's like looking at him with disbelief. And Jameis is sitting there doing the Jameis head nod, which he did to Jimbo Fisher, and he's done his whole career. And to me, that's the most frustrating thing, is no one claims to be a bigger football guy than Jameis Winston. We always saw the notepad he had when he was 5 years old of the different plays that matter for a quarterback. And every time a coach talks to him, he goes, I know I got to get better. I got to do it. Eventually, how do you even deal with somebody that always says they get it and they never do?
Yeah.
But I still think he's more physically talented than all the guys coming after. That's why I put him a little higher.
My next guy is Flacco. He's been okay. He's not been good.
It's Flacco's best year.
In a couple.
I think since his Super Bowl year.
11th in QBR. 23rd in passer rating. 22nd in adjusted net yards.
And Cortland Sutton is quietly becoming a number one in this league.
I mean, he didn't do anything in the last game. Not Cortland Sutton. Pardon me, Joe Flacco. Nothing that changed my mind. He's never, like, oh God, that pick to Noah Fant was horrible.
Fired. Yeah.
Horrible. But well,
someone had a great point, which is, Noah, you need to understand that Joe Flacco's best ability is throwing up balls for you to get a pass interference on. So don't try and catch it. Just jump into the defender. That's the Joe Flacco special.
To a tight end.
Hermsmeyer that tweeted that.
What you're seeing is that the Denver defense finally looks like what we expected them to be. It's not about Joe Flacco. So we're just going to breeze. I mean, I don't want to talk about him at length. I've got Mariota next. So benched. Completed 7 of 18 passes for 63 yards and 2 picks before he was replaced by Tannehill, who was also very bad.
So my good friend Steven Nelson works at the MLB Network, and he is good friends with Mariota. And I was talking about how Mariota, even though Winston threw 5 interceptions, I still think he played better than Mariota. And he sent me this long text, and he's always been a Mariota defender. And there's not a lot of them out there. And he said, why are we not treating him kind of like how we treated Alex Smith? His offensive line has been a mess. He's had like 5 different offensive coordinators. None of them have been good. I'm just telling you what he said to me.
I said that. I've said those things too.
What weapons
past.
Has he really had other than Delanie Walker from a pass catching perspective that have really been that great? They've been trying to sell us on 7th round pick Tajay Sharp now for the last few years. I think there are some interesting nuggets out there.
Totally.
But I just still don't see it. Like, he had the one game against Kansas City where he caught his own pass and it was incredible, and that play should always be called a Mariota. But other than that, we haven't seen the highs.
Right. You used to get more highs, I think. I guess with Mariota, I'll just say I often said this, what your friend said, which is all the coordinators, the turnover, the lack of talent around him, all of that. But right now, in year 5 of his career, he is still making the same mistakes irrespective of that. He still takes too many sacks, not snacks.
Mariota loving that snack tray.
Snack machine. He still struggles with adjusting to blitzes. He's still, honestly, like, at times I feel like doesn't read defenses right. I don't know. I don't see development from him. I think we kind of got it. Now, look, if he had entered a different system and everything had been differently and he'd been with Chip from the beginning or whatever, it could be totally different, because I actually believe your circumstances affect your development in a very big way. But that's not what happened.
That's a huge what if in the Eagles fan community, by the way. When Chip was the coach, there was a trade on the table where we offered Fletcher Cox and a number of other picks and players for Mariota. And so one of our big what ifs is, what if that actually happened? I just wasn't sure. Was there like a big what if in the Seahawks community?
Our
two big what ifs are that, and what if Frank Gore actually played on the Eagles that one time when he was supposed to and then changed his mind?
I have heard, I say this, from numerous people that Seattle really loved Mahomes.
So the team that I had heard loved Mahomes for the longest was the Saints, and they had the pick after the Chiefs.
Brutal.
Think about that.
Brutal. Okay, I've got Mitch next, Mitchell.
Okay.
I've talked about him a lot on this podcast, and, you know, he didn't play this week, so I don't really want to get into it too much. He's just he's not been good this year.
No.
At all. He's been bad from a clean pocket.
He's someone
he
that I ranked,
everything
but
around him.
I
he needs
think
to
about
succeed.
Your Scooby-Doo category, because I still don't know.
Oh, I think I know. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I've long said with this I was wrong about the Bears' defense regressing. They have not regressed.
Hold on, because they just lost to Keenan Hicks.
I know.
And so you might still be right.
Well, that wouldn't be right. They just got an injury. But I was wrong about that. I don't think I was wrong about Trubisky. Yeah. Bears fans get upset about that. So I think Bears fans are out on him, though, now. I think they're already like, let's give me whoever.
So then where do you have Daniel Jones? You have him in the Scooby-Doo?
I put him in Scooby-Doo. Okay. Come on, he's played three games or four games. Dalton here, no need to really get into it. I threw Mason Rudolph in here, averaging 3.8 completed air yards per attempt. Not much to discuss there.
I have him below Duck Hodges. I think he's a better quarterback than Mason.
I'm not going to lie. I barely watched Duck. I watched a little bit, and I was like, I don't need to.
When he went 21-0, I went, Succession. And that's the first time I've turned off an NFL game this year.
Me too.
First one.
Same. I've got Case Keenum in this group. Yep. Although the fact that he has the ability to throw to Terry McLaurin, who's scary Terry, is amazing, is great. Rosen and Fitzpatrick. Part of me wants to put Rosen in Scooby-Doo.
I put him in Scooby-Doo because I know how much you love him.
Well, I saw something alarming, which is that Rosen's passer rating when he wasn't under pressure in this game was 23.2. But I still don't think any of it's his fault.
No.
But he's not playing well even when he has the opportunity.
The fact that he's on the Dolphins, is that actually going to extend his career?
That's a great question. Because I think the Josh Rosen was wrong narrative has fully taken...
It's officially formed.
Everybody's defending him.
Yes.
So...
Also, Terry McLaurin is my number two for Offensive Rookie of the Year right now.
Love him.
My number one?
DK Metcalf.
Eric McCoy.
Just kidding.
Center of the Saints.
Such a hipster pick.
Very much so.
All right. I'm in
Scooby-Doo.
You're
a hipster. I did it for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Who is mine? I think I wrote it down somewhere. Let me see.
It's DK.
It's not. It's, Yeah, that's you. Josh Jacobs.
Okay.
I'm in Scooby-Doo.
I ranked all mine, so let's hear your Scooby-Doos.
Okay. So I've got Kyler in there. We already discussed, although that was lame. Sam Darnold. Everyone who listens to this knows I'm Sam Hive till the end.
Yes.
I was very validated.
I just put in a big waiver claim to get him in fantasy. Because their schedule in the second half
is
delicious. Mm. I have traded for Robbie Anderson. I've picked up Chris Herndon. I'm going full Jets. Like, literally look at their schedule. Multiple games against Miami. Ooh. They got who else do they have? They have, like, Washington.
You know what
it's
I love about
the
Robbie Anderson? And just generally this last game where Sam, he had a career-high 7 completions on passes traveling 15 yards downfield, including the wonderful Robbie Anderson hitch and go.
Yep, 92.
What I said before the season was everyone knows I love Sam. I'm worried that Adam Gase is going to have him dinking and dunking because he has a beautiful – he actually – beautiful is strong. He has a good deep ball. And I was worried that Gase would – restrict that. And so I was delighted to see Sammy, as I call him, Sammy Dimes.
Were you nervous at all when it was 14-14 that you were going to have to change your name to Mina Dimes?
Yeah.
I was nervous for you.
Yeah.
I was out. I was like, Mina's going to change her last name.
I didn't expect that tweet to take off. It was just an offhand joke.
Yeah,
and
but it was really well done.
Well, speaking of the aforementioned Senor Dimes, I've obviously got him in Scooby-Doo.
What do you think so far?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I think, because I've watched him pretty closely with a lot of interest. It's funny, because everyone's like, the Patriots, obviously he had a bunch of picks. I actually thought he was better in the pass game than the Washington game, which nobody watched, but he was not good in
that game. Second
half
of the Washington game is the reason I bet against the Giants against Minnesota. I was like, no one watched this game,
yeah,
and they only saw
it.
Jabril Peppers pick 6.
Yes.
And Daniel Jones threw like
the Bucks game, yeah.
4 or 5.
Should have been picks. I think right now...
Isn't it weird that the advantage in our community is if you actually watch the games, you have an advantage?
My take on Danny Dimes is I think his arm has looked better than I expected based on college. He has looked accurate. It's looked a lot stronger than I thought. I knew he was athletic, so he has lived up to that. I personally think the Giants should be using his athleticism more. I think his errors have all been mental. He locks on.
Yeah.
It's rookie stuff.
Rookie stuff.
So we'll see. That's why Scooby-Doo for me.
I understand.
Another rookie I have in Scooby-Doo is Gardner Minshew.
So I have Gardner Minshew.
Have you seen enough?
Like I said, I ranked everybody.
Okay.
I have Gardner Minshew right now between Kyle Allen and Mitchell Trubisky is where I have him. Below Kyle Allen. Yes. And also below Goff. My thing with Gardner is the plays he made in the Denver game were spectacular. What he did against Tennessee have been great. But now that he's played the Saints And then I also think about I don't think about the Texans game because that was like his first real start.
I was there. I was in the end zone when Marone had Fournette carry it on fourth down. I was like, really? I wanted the Houston win for story purposes.
Yes. I think Gardner, like, all of my rankings are not how I think they're going to be all time. It's kind of what I'm seeing from them right now.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew to me is not a guy that is going to, I see talent and I see some heady plays and I think with a lot more reps, he's going to be good, but he's way overblown for where he actually is right now.
Fair.
And I think he's more of a bottom third starter in the NFL, but he's also, you know, it was a sixth round pick that's barely played.
It's gravy. He's a rookie. I think the Saints took away what he does well. You know,
I'd rather have him long term than Mitchell Trubisky.
Me too. Kept him in the pocket. He's accurate. He's got chutzpah. I think he's going to make some very difficult decisions for Jacksonville.
Do?
I don't know, man. I really don't. I think it really actually does depend on how the next few games play out, which is crazy. That was it for me. You had 40 quarterbacks.
I had 35. So like, plus, I have Chase Daniel ahead of Hodges and Mason Rudolph.
I'm not talking about Chase Daniel on this podcast.
Yeah. And that's really.
Did we hit everyone else?
I think we hit everybody. I didn't do anything crazier. Cam, like I said, I would have put between 14 and 15. Actually, you want to know where I had Foles? I had Foles between 13 and 14. Foles below Brissett, but ahead of Kirk Cousins.
It's so hard for me.
Foles is one of those guys that I don't think we've seen a weirder career arc. A 27 touchdown, 2 interception season with the Eagles. He goes to the Rams. It's like he's never played football. He comes in for the Eagles and has one of the greatest Super Bowl performances ever. He's one of the greatest clutch performers in the postseason we've ever seen. He goes down there against Kansas City, absolute dime to Chark for a touchdown, hurt, and now here comes Gardner Minshew mania.
Final question. Let's say Gardner keeps his job. Let's say he balls out. Do you think Foles has trade value?
I think
he's got about 2 years on the contract that they actually have to pay.
I think he does, and I think it would make sense for the Jaguars because you got 4 more years now of this sixth round. What?
Producer just texted me. 90 minutes is the record for Amina Kaim's show. We're at 80.
All right. So. Well, we got 11 more minutes.
You were saying?
I asked you before, has Lenny ever kicked somebody off the show? I'm trying to change. I'm trying to really own this stuff. I'm intimidated by Dominique Foxworth, and I'm trying to state my claim. No, I think Foles right now is, again, I probably have him overrated because I think Nick Foles is one of the 5 greatest Eagles of all time.
Wow.
It's what teams can handle that salary cap, what teams believe they can win right now with him, because that's what Jacksonville thought. That's why they got him. We have the base.
Yeah.
Get this guy that can carry us through.
It appears they do. It appears they were right. I mean, not about Foles, but about the rest of their team.
What would you do if Foles comes back and he's healthy, a little bit banged up?
It depends on, like I said, how Minshew. I think if Minshew bounces back and plays really well, you just can't move on from him. He's won too many games for
what
you.
What is their schedule coming up, Jackson? Sorry to put you on the spot.
You are really aiming for that record, aren't you, in time? So they've got the Bengals this week.
Yep. What
okay,
else?
So that's a W. Then they've got the Jets.
Okay.
Texans, Colts, Titans, Bucks. Very winnable.
Very winnable. Like, that's what I talk about. Everyone.
This team could go to the playoffs.
Like, don't write your big feature right now about how the Rams offense is going to die because the next 2 weeks, I think they play Atlanta and Cincy.
Yeah.
So, like, wait until after the bye and then write it. It's just this thing that happens in the NFL where we want to do a big narrative and then you play the Falcons and you look like an idiot.
Breaking news. The Rams traded Marcus Peters to the Ravens.
Are you messing with me?
I am not messing with you. The source is Ian Rappaport.
Are you sure?
I am sure. I mean, I'm not sure, but it is Ian Rappaport.
What's so fascinating about that to me is they just put Aqib Talib on IR.
Yeah. So
now you're going down to Nicole Roby Coleman?
I know a thing or two about this roster.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, so NRC is a slot. He's actually really good. It's funny.
Really
everyone
good.
Always, obviously, the missed call. He's really talented. Then you've got Troy Hill as your next guy. So we don't know what the Rams are getting back, by the
right.
way. So, and then you there's the rookie David Long out of Michigan, who I saw a lot of in the preseason.
What do you think?
He was not the best rookie to play in the preseason. He's a man guy.
Just got the alert.
Which, you know, the funny thing about Marcus Peters in that defense was, they wanted to play man, but he can't.
Because he's a zone guy. He likes to read the quarterback and jump routes.
Yes. So they had to change their defense to accommodate him. And I wonder, we'll see what they get back. But he makes a lot more sense for the Ravens.
I love this trade for the Ravens.
I want to see what they gave him.
Agreed.
But the Ravens secondary has been shockingly not good.
Well, the splits when the Ravens
have
Jimmy Smith and when they don't have Jimmy Smith are drastic. So if I'm rooting for the Ravens, which I am, because like I said, they're one of my favorite teams. If Jimmy Smith comes back and now they have Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey, and Marcus Peters, they just lost Tony Jefferson, so they needed help back there. This could – we don't know what they gave up, but I would imagine it's a draft pick.
We're seeing – not a draft pick yet. Jake Glazer has linebacker Kenny Young.
Okay.
So the Rams lost Micah Kizer during the preseason, who was going to be a starting inside linebacker.
Corey Littleton dropped a pick six last game. Interesting.
Wow. Okay.
I think this is great for the Ravens, and I have a lot of questions for the Rams.
Yeah, well, we'll see. There still could be more coming back. It's premature.
Sure. What is it? We got 6 minutes.
We're getting. be sure to check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones. This week he discusses LeBron's comments on Daryl Morey's tweet, the Browns 2-4 start, and the Cam Newton truthers coming out. Download and subscribe to The Right Time now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
Question one, we're going to stick with this Rams-Ravens. Are the Rams going to make it to the playoffs?
I saw them as a regression team.
Before the season, yeah.
Well, no, I did pick them to make the playoffs. I would say right now that I don't think they're making the playoffs. I don't see the Niners and Seahawks slowing down, so which means they need to get a wild card. And I look at the depth of the North, and I look at the fact that the Saints and the Panthers are going to make a run in the South. I think it's going to be too much to overcome.
Question two. You're getting married.
I am.
Soonish.
Next summer.
What's your favorite wedding song?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
September.
No.
Oh, that's mine. Oh, the dismissive way in which you just said no.
It's because I'm a super Earth, Wind, and Fire fan.
Okay.
I've gone to a lot of their concerts.
Really?
Me and my fiance have white sweaters that have a huge Earth, Wind, and Fire gold disc logo
Stop.
On it. But we haven't worn them together yet because the moment hasn't been big enough. We thought about wearing it to our wedding. We looked into, I think Let's Groove Tonight is a very underrated one.
We just saw Chaka Khan at the Hollywood Bowl.
Chaka Khan?
Chaka.
Give it up for Chocolate Khan.
That's
a cool place to watch a show.
There was a lot of grooving going on.
Yeah, Earth, Wind,
I'm not a big fan. That's not my thing. I'm not an anti Chaka Khan.
Okay. what's your favorite wedding song?
It's September. I love September.
Nice. So
would you rather grow a goatee for 8 weeks?
Did you know it's like scientifically impossible to talk about a goatee and not touch your face? Look at this. If you're like, do you have a goatee? You touch your face. So could I grow one?
No. Would you rather grow a Greg Williams style goatee for 8 weeks or wear flip flops every day?
No, goatee. 100%. Men's feet are disgusting. In New York on the subway.
Sales out, nails out.
Is Succession the greatest show of all time?
I love it.
Favorite character?
Jeez.
Tom or Greg?
Yeah, it's got to be Tom or Greg. I mean, the favorite is a tough word because they're all amazing. Like, I think Jeremy Strong is the best. Was an incredible performer.
Roman is phenomenal.
Hilarious, great writing. Question four. You're trying to get to 90. I'm going to stop you. You are famous for your rapport with NFL players. You do these great interviews. You have such excellent camaraderie with them. This week, if you could interview any NFL player for 30 minutes, who would it be?
I'm not trying to take time. It's
okay.
With everything that's going on right now. Mm. Damn it, Mina. I'm so bad at this. Mm. I'm going to cop out. Marcus Peters, damn it.
No, he's a great interview too, so.
He's incredible.
He's spicy.
And like him being traded right now, like I actually have a good rapport with Marcus Peters. And so like to get his true thing in his California accent, Hemi, what?
So I just checked Twitter. Sorry, I know you were talking. I was listening. SportsCenter tweeted, is Christian McCaffrey the MVP front runner? And had a bunch of stats, including the Panthers' record. I sarcastically tweeted, RB wins.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That
and
was good.
And Jack Del Rio quote tweeted me, I believe thinking I was earnestly supporting Christian McCaffrey and called him a man on a mission. Anyways.
If there's one person that believes in running back wins, it's Jack Del Rio. And then John Fox is not far behind.
Peters is great. Peters also, by the way, I'll say this, he seemed to me like someone who very much wanted to be on the Rams. So,
yeah. I would also like to interview Dak. Because I seriously wonder, at 3-0, we talked about you being a $40 million man. Mm. And now are you sitting here thinking you're a $30 million man?
Lenny wants to know.
I'm not answering Lenny unless he asks me, point blank.
He's not here.
Can you get him on the phone?
All right, hold on.
Okay, thank you.
I can't bring it back just for you.
Oh, so you only do this when you're in California?
I don't do the voice anymore. I thought you knew that.
Why?
The voice is gone. The voice is gone. I was getting too much crap for it. Lenny wants you to know, he wants to know, why are the Eagles overrated?
Yeah.